All right. Thank you very much, David, and welcome everybody to the 2023 Derivatives Conference. Again, my name is Doc Severson, and this is kind of the visual I'm going to be going over today to kind of keep you in, clued in with what we're going over today. So as you see the follow the bouncing ball up through my presentation, so you'll get a sense of where we're going and what we're accomplishing here today. So if you have not heard of me before, again, my name's Doc Severson. I've been individual trader and performance coach since 2005. I quit my six-figure position back at a three-letter acronym telecommunications company. And it wasn't long before I had people knocking on my door saying, hey, can you help me do the same thing? So I actually found that helping others made me a much, much better trader because of the accountability for this. And it was a challenge staying one step ahead of my students, and that continues to this day. So you may have heard of me at places like Options Linebacker, Options MD, Theotrade, Doc's Trading Tools, ReadySet.Trade. And my specialties are fractal price analysis, so that means multiple time frames, options and future strategies, trading mindset, because I am a typical lizard brain and react to fear in the same way that everybody else does. And because of this, I've had to work on myself and understand how I make decisions. And that led to my first book, Hacking the Holy Grail, which is about the trader's guide to cracking the code of profitability. So how to think correctly when it comes to the market. And the fractal price analysis and multiple timeframes came to my second book. Both of these are on Amazon.com, by the way. If you just search under Doc Severson, you can find them. I recommend the paperback versus the online. It's just that you get a much better experience with that if you're curious about that. So what I like to do is simplify the complex, and that's what I'm going to be doing today over the next few minutes. So many investors are discovering trading these days in a very perilous market. So this is my purpose today. I want to help today's small investor get started without being taken advantage of. I want to see the small trader win without having to join a herd or follow some wild subreddit to win. I think a lot of people are getting started in the wrong way by doing the same thing. I mean, we're used to socializing our decisions now. Like if you want to buy something, you go on to Amazon.com and you look for the five-star reviews, right? So why wouldn't you do the same thing when it comes to investing? But unfortunately, you have to learn to think independently to be successful in this business. You cannot follow the herd. Otherwise, you'll get the same results everybody else gets. So some of these new options that have come out in 2022, just about a year ago, offer some of the best natural edges that I've seen in markets in a long time. My purpose today is to make you aware of them, show you some setups, and in general, help you decide if this is something for you. So I'm going to give you an entire, exactly 100% meat throughout this presentation. So stick with me for 45 minutes. I'm going to walk you step by step on how to start creating income with a simple trading strategy that puts the odds in your favor, and one you can start using tomorrow. More directly, I want to show you how to win over 90% of your trades and make $1.70 in profits for every dollar that you may have to contribute to other people's accounts. So I want to show you how you can create consistent results like this. So why are we here? Why are we here today? Well, everyone is trying to set themselves up for financial freedom. I guess that's why everybody is attending this and taking time out of their busy schedules to go through the derivatives conference this week. The problem is using yesterday's methods won't work anymore. And to some extension, even using last year's methods won't work in today's market either. The old paradigm of investing was to continue to grow your pile of assets. So grow this pile as big as you can get it. And then what you do is live off the interest. So once you accumulated enough assets, you could safely live off the interest without depleting your principal. So the old standard was to build up $1 million and then live off of $50,000 a year in interest at 5% APR. And that worked maybe a generation ago, maybe back when rates were at that level and inflation was not at that level. But the problem is interest rates are creeping up, but it's not enough. If you've gone in any stores lately, if you've done any kind of shopping, you know what the annual rate of inflation is, and I think they're underreporting it. I just think some of these things are just amazingly more expensive. I went to a bike store over the weekend. I couldn't believe there was not one bike that I saw for sale under $5,000. It's like, what happened? So current alternatives to this interest income, if we say that interest income is not going to work for you, at 4% or whatever it is. So what about the traditional methods of augmenting market returns? We were using annuities, bond yields, and stock dividends. Well, annuities will lock you in for years to receive a small return. I don't know anybody that's happy with them. Bond yields are still low. Again, we're just not keeping up with inflation. And stock dividends are great. They can be upwards of 7%, but you'll typically pay for it. So if you're going to get a 7% dividend, you're going to end up with a stock that looks like this that gets nowhere. You're going to have no capital appreciation. So this means that you can follow the old paradigm of growing your pile of assets, but being able to make money on your money is no longer there. The problem is all these retirees are going to be shredding through their principal in no time and wondering what changed, even though this has been happening for the past two decades. So in the words of Private Hudson, what do we do now, man? Game over. Well, I don't think so. I don't think we have to approach it like that. Income to the rescue. Let's find different ways to create income. So we once received income through interest and dividends and bond yields. How can we replace it without going through the old paradigm and the old vehicles? Are there different forms of passive and active income that can work to replace the old vehicles like annuities, interest, and bonds? Now, a definition here, passive income is earned without your active participation. So this is interest and dividends. This is making money on your money. And active income obviously requires your participation and effort to earn income. So a typical example of active income would be a salary where you're exchanging your time for the company's dollars. Now, can we do this with stocks? Can we create income by trading stocks alone? Well, they're still expensive even after the bear and even after this summer's rally. They're still expensive. So it requires a massive amount of capital to trade the market leaders. Day trading stocks requires too much capital for smaller accounts. You just can't get the bang for the buck. And they've got that horrible pattern day trader rule, which is very restrictive. If you have less than $25,000, good luck if you want to trade frequently. So to me, trading stocks for income is not a very efficient way to go. Options are the answer, though. Using options allows us to replace our interest income from the old paradigm method. So passive, we can sell longer-term options. We can act like an insurance company, which is one of the most conservative businesses out there, where we're collecting the risk premium from option buyers. Imagine the market being this unlimited river of risk flowing by, and you're just going to take a thimble and dip it in there and pull out some risk. You're going to get paid for that, and it's your job to manage that risk. Or we can seek active income. We can look for short-term opportunities to either buy or sell options using the leverage of options to more efficiently use that capital. So to me, options are a perfect vehicle for creating income in today's paradigm, not yesterday's. Now, if you haven't traded options before, it'd be hard to believe with a derivative conference if nobody's ever heard of options before, things like that. Yes, you have used options already in your daily life. If you've ever used a coupon, if you've ever bought an insurance policy, you've already traded calls and puts. So we use very simple combinations of options to earn income. Anybody can do this. If I can do this, you guys can do it too. So my assumption for today, this is an advanced trading webinar. So I'm going to skip the usual background on options, get right to the strategies, if that's okay with you guys. So how do we generate active income using the weekly option strategies? Well, to get that, let's put some framework around today's discussion before we go too far. Let's talk about earning a certain amount per day. So earning $100 a day, when I put that out on the table, a lot of people are like, oh, come on, you know, that's not going to cut it. I'm not going to get anywhere earning $100 a day. And it doesn't sound like much of a goal, especially with all the overblown promises by vendors in this space. You may have made significantly more than $100 a day in your job, but you've got to start somewhere. So many retail traders that I run into or work with, they say, you know, they're using linear math and they say, well, I'm making $5,000 a month. And so therefore I need to immediately replace my income. I need to start making $5,000 a month now, right? So I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. I wouldn't do it that way. I would work your way up to that. I would earn the right to do so. So what I want you to do is I want you to set a target, set something modest. I don't care if it's even $10 a day. It could be something small. but I want you to learn how to be consistent. I want you to learn how to be professional. So pick one thing, pick one way to make money with this. Start with a modest goal and continue to improve on it every single day. This is the key to success over time, not a different indicator, not a fancy strategy. I would go so far as to say that this is the holy grail of trading, is to pick one thing, start with a modest goal, continue to improve on it every single day. So a friend of mine, James Clear, has got this fantastic book that he came up with, 5 years ago now, and it's called Atomic Habits. And if you haven't picked it up, I would definitely do it. But he talks about the power of tiny gains. Now, let me illustrate this with an analogy. If I were to meet you in person and you would say, hey, here's my performance. And I would say, okay, what I want you to do, if you accept this challenge, Mr. Phelps, is to get 1% better at your trading strategy between today and tomorrow. Can you do that? Will you do that? Yes. Yes, I will do that. So you go off and you do whatever work is necessary and you come back the next day and report and say, yep, I've definitely got 1% better in my trading. You know, I was able to tighten up my entry procedures and I've definitely worked on some of my analysis and I'm definitely 1% better. Okay, do it again tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that. Get 1% better every day. If you do that, at the end of 1 year, you'll be almost 38 times better at what you do today. And that's the power of tiny gains. We think about climbing that mountain and we just see the end result to it. And we don't realize that all you got to do is put one step in front of the other, 1 foot in front of the other, take one step at a time. So this is how to get there. Now, the opposite to this is if you get 1% worse every day, you'll vector down to zero. We don't want to go that way. So earning $100 a day is a great place to start to give yourself that sort of professional framing where you become consistent and you become an ATM. Now, use an income pyramid. So what I don't want you to do is to say, well, I'm going to take my whole capital, I'm going to trade futures on it, and I'm going to, you know, put my whole account, because that can be pretty dangerous. What I want you to do is I want you to start with something really slow, really boring, something that's maybe months out in advance that just sort of basically hardly even twitches when you look at it. So some of these non-directional index trades, use an index trade, don't use an individual stock. And set these things up just to very quietly burn passive income in the background. Once you get good at that, what you can do is you can move up the food chain here and you can go to equities because they have a little bit more bang for the buck, right? A little bit more jack in the chain, a little bit more implied volatility because there's more risk there. And then if you want to start scaling up your income, you can add more directional risk, which is obviously can really spice things up. And then ultimately, maybe you can get into some shorter term strategies, intraday or zero DTE or something like that. But use a type of pyramid approach. Now, your approach is going to be different from everybody else's. You are going to have a certain amount of capital. You'll have a certain amount of time during the day, and you have a certain amount of initial knowledge. And I guess I would say knowledge delta. So how are you able to process and learn information? So everybody's going to have a different sort of combination of these and kind of an intersection in the middle here of this Venn diagram. Now, what I would stress to you, a lot of people will say, well, I'm capital constrained and I don't have any time. So therefore, I'm just going to give my money over to a money manager. And I think they're doing it the wrong way. They're going to get the same results as everybody else, right? Just because you don't have a whole lot of capital, just because you don't have a whole lot of time does not really mean anything. Because if you assume that knowledge is unlimited, what you attain is not going to go away and there's no limit to the amount of knowledge that you can park on. And actually in a very quick time frame too, especially if you focus, then this is the type of person that I want to work with because they can do anything irrespective of how much capital or how much time that they have. Even if they limit themselves to a very small window per day, even if they start with a small account, if you have the right attitude as far as gaining knowledge, you can do anything in this business. So yeah, it is easier with larger accounts. No question, because you can wheel Apple options and just set up, you know, covered calls on this thing, sell puts against Apple and just kind of crank the wheel. But you're going to have a pretty big account to make any kind of difference, you know, to trade more than one contract on this thing. So you can do very well with passive income. This is the Warren Buffett type of trade. It's very slow, but that's like the bottom of the pyramid that I was talking about. Now, there is the power of one thing. If you've ever seen this movie, City Slickers, with the cowboy Curly, he was asked his advice by Billy Crystal, like, what's the secret to life? Holds up one finger, just one thing. Nothing else means anything. All you need to be successful as a retail trader is to master one thing. That's it. You don't have to be a jack of all trades. You'll be a master of none. Narrowing your field of focus to one thing actually improves your odds. Master one thing and then look to diversify later on. We get exactly the opposite advice. So we're taught from basically the cradle, well, you must have a well-diversified portfolio. And so we think that that means the different strategies, you need to have different stocks. And I was one of those people. I had like 42 stocks in my portfolio and trading all kinds of different option strategies when I started. And no question as to why I wasn't doing well with that. What I had to do was sweep my desk off and basically said, I'm tired of this and I'm just going to do one thing and I'm not going to deviate from that until I become a master. And that actually made a huge difference. And within 6 months, I had turned in my 2-week notice. So today's focus is going to be on active income. We're going to talk about active income trades through the rest of this presentation. We're going to be using weekly options. We're going to be seeking to make specific income goals per day. We can skip days to avoid pattern day trader issues if we're trading a small account. So let's talk about zero-day options. This may be a different term from what you've heard of, but it's essentially the same thing. Weekly options were released about 15 years ago, and they first started with the S&P 500, and oh boy, this is great. We used to just have, I mean, if you were to transport yourself back in time 20 years ago, you would only see these option cycles. You would just see monthly option cycles, and then hallelujah, we got weekly. So these are just on Fridays, and it started with the S&P 500. It's kind of, you know, the big daddy. And then eventually it went out to some of the larger stocks, the individual stocks in the market, maybe about, you know, 12, 13 years ago. Okay. But now what's happened is the S&P pioneered this, and I don't know if everybody's going to go this way, and maybe even the S&P will go into hourly options at some point in our lifetime. But now here's today's options. Here's tomorrow. Thursday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Every day has got its own option now. This is where I get the zero-day options expiry. This is what we're looking at. Zero days to expiration. Now, the NDX also has zero-day option series. This is the NASDAQ 100. We also have options on futures. And these are kind of interesting, too, because they use span margin. And it may be something that you might want to consider if you are capital constrained, is to consider the micro E-mini, the MES, S&P futures. There are some certain specific option strategies that I do with those, which are very, very efficient in terms of capital utilization. So these also have zero-day options. And we can go over to the popular ETFs like the SPDRs, the Qs. They have zero-day options now. The IWM, which is the Russell 2000 ETF, has three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And the diamonds is back in the prehistoric times of just having the Friday weekly. Now, these options expire today. Imagine, if you will, if you were to enter a room holding an ice cube in the palm of your hand, there'd be a certain amount of passive melt that will occur on that ice cube just because of the warmth of your hand. Will start to very slowly melt that ice cube. But imagine if there is a roaring fire. This is a fire. Okay. And imagine you walk towards that fire. The heat that you feel will vary with the square of the distance. So the closer that you get to the fire, the temperature that the ice cube will feel will actually go up exponentially. And this is what happens with an option, that here is today, here's the opening bell today, and it's going to die really quickly. It'll die an immediate death near the closing bell. And that's after who knows how many months of being, you know, in decay. But this, things happen very, very quickly with these zero-day options. Now, these are very sharp instruments. This is not the place to learn your first option trade. What I would do is I would start with something that's months out, that operates very, very slowly, kind of like an aircraft carrier turning, you know, turns very, very slowly. So if you're not an expert at the entry, defense, and risk management of your particular option strategy, then trading zero-day options is not the place to learn. Consider extending the trade out over a few days, at least, maybe 5 days, maybe 7 days, and learn that way. Okay, so now we're going to talk about neutral strategies. We're just about halfway through here. So for a long directional trade, if I were to go long on something, now, well, this is either going long in a futures contract or buying a stock or even buying an option to some degree, you're going to see the price go up, sideways, or down. And the only way you're going to make money is if it goes up. And it's even tougher than that with an option because you have to get the timing and the velocity and all that and the implied volatility all right. So this equates to a 33% chance of winning or less on an outcome basis, since an asset trending sideways shows opportunity cost. Imagine that. Would you start a trade if you knew that your odds of winning were only 33%? Probably not. But people do it every day anyway. Now, if we flip the odds around, if we're doing a neutral option trade, if we're selling to open, you're going to see the price go up, sideways, or down. What's the difference here? If it goes sideways, I still win. This equates to a 67% chance of winning or more, since an asset trending sideways wins with a wasting asset due to time decay of the short option. That obligation is erasing right in front of my eyes. So when I learned this, I was like, wow, this is great. 67% is better. It's more better, as they say, than 33%. Learning to use probabilities to increase your winning rates, one of the most liberating principles in trading, one of the biggest advantages with using options and specifically selling them. Now, what kind of strategies should we use? Well, there's the short strangle. This is the king of option selling strategies used by professionals. And really, it's very simple. There's not much to this. This is a short put sold to open, and this is a short call sold to open. And depending on what you're trading, most of us cannot trade this, either due to option permission or shortage of capital. It's this unlimited risk curve that creates problems, right? It's a real problem. The main problem here is the huge margin required to the unlimited risk profile. Lots of war stories out there from new traders getting blown out due to this unlimited risk curve. They freeze. Or there was a whole firm at optionsellers.com. They used to do this trade with commodities, and they got caught not following their rules one time. And that's all it took to not only blow out their business, but also the money. And actually, they lost more than they had placed on the trade in initial margin, if you can imagine that. So this is an awesome trade, but leave it for the big boys. So what happens is we learn to cap our risk by using iron condors and using a hedge option on each side of this. This is called a spread. This lowers the margin requirements. So for this style of condor, probabilities increased by using a lower reward to risk. So here's the reward. It's not much, but your probability of success is really, really high. So this is the way that a lot of traders start out. They start out with what's called a high probability iron condor. So the risk is down here and they say, well, I don't want that to happen. So I'm going to pretend like that never will happen. Problem is, statistically, it will happen sooner or later. It's like rolling the stone up the hill from Sisyphus, only to watch it roll back down again as one loss creates, you know, wipes away the profits from 9 or 10 trades. Can be very difficult to play during low volatility markets like what we've seen lately, because this is truly picking up nickels in front of the steamroller. So what does work a little bit better in low volatility markets is what I call the low probability condor. We're going to make it more narrow. And your first reaction might be, well, why on earth would we do that? Well, the reward to risk is much better. We do a higher reward to risk. And the unstated benefit of bringing these wings in is it actually is much faster than a high probability condor. So a high probability condor, where it's got huge wide wings, they're really, really slow. It takes a long time to get any kind of percentage on those because you're truly picking up pennies. And then your efficiency of the trade is actually pretty poor because of commissions. So getting a nice, decent credit by getting the same reward as what you're risking is intuitively kind of goes against, you know, your natural intuition of wanting to play higher probability. This is kind of the difference in an army of playing their rear echelon. The artillery is usually 10 miles behind the lines and they're not under constant attack, whereas the infantry is right on the front lines And that's where all the action happens. Kind of the same thing here. So this actually has some huge advantages to risk control and speed versus the traditional iron condors. It is terrific for smaller accounts as well, too, because the margin's much lower. And then we can even collapse this even further to go for an iron butterfly, which is typically what I'll do for zero DTE trades or today's trade. And these are so quick in the morning. So width is sacrificed for its speed on this trade. We can also do things like a calendar spread. This is a different type of strategy which works best in low volatility, quiet markets. So you'll be seeing much more about these types of time spreads in today's quiet, non-volatile market. Set up correctly, it also can be a very rapid trade, mandatory for low volatility markets. So again, you don't need to learn 42 different fancy sounding options strategies with all those colorful names. Just a handful of properly applied, correctly managed strategies. And actually, most of them end up being variations on the same thing. You're following an insurance company business model, but taking risk out of the market. You're being paid for it by those that want to offload their risk, right? So all these big funds are hedging against, because they're long-only funds and they have to hedge. So they're selling, they're buying put options, and you can sell them to them. So this is how we're going to earn our daily income. All right, so let's talk about analysis techniques for how we get into a trade like this. So random walk, there's two different types. Random walk implies that there's zero knowledge about forward price action. So forward price movement fits into a log normal distribution of price. I do see a question up there, and I will answer questions at the end of this. I've learned that the hard way, not to stop in the middle. So if you can be patient, I'll address your question at the end. And then there's technical analysis, which is what most of us on the outside world practice in terms of analyzing a trade. Random walkers are typically folks from Chicago for whatever reason. It's just sort of baked into the DNA there. If you go into the CBOE, there is not one single price chart in the entire building. Not one. It's all numbers. It's all probabilities. It's all statistics based. That is random walk. Technical analysis is all based on charts. Okay. So these two schools of thought are at religious extremes. So both, neither of them really respect the other. So why not use both of them? And that's kind of what I do. You know, we can use the statistics from random walk. And I think there's specific ways that we can use technical analysis, not to predict the future, but to understand the character of the current move. So what can we use with random walk? Expected move, we can find the plus and minus one standard deviation distance. We can use option delta to find probability of success. We can place positions outside of this expected move and target positions at specific delta. This makes us much more precise and consistent with what we do. So here's an example of random walk. With every chain, you're going to see these numbers up here. So this is the implied volatility that's showing up here. And this is also the expected move, plus and minus 60.8 points. So this is baked into, they use this through Black-Scholes, and every broker has got some form of displaying this. Not all of them do the expected move though. So for example, we can see the expected move into 31 July, which is a few days from now, is 60.8 points. So we have this envelope of probability. Current price is 45.68. So this envelope gives us this one standard deviation range of 4507 to 4629. Again, that's a 68.2% probability envelope of success. We can locate positions outside of this envelope, such as choosing the short put with an 89.3% probability of success, which is right there at the 4470 strike price. So we can stack probabilities just like this. Now, using technical analysis, our goal is not to predict the future with TAs many. Try to. I mean, if you spend any time on Twitter or YouTube, you're going to see all these gurus out there. Let me show you how to predict the price. Come on. You can't predict the next 5 minutes more, you know, the next day or two. So we use TA to augment the statistical analysis of random walk. We use it to understand the probabilities, and we use it to understand the ways that we look at markets in terms of fractal energy. So to me, markets don't go into overbought and oversold conditions, unlike what we've been learned, you know, taught for the past 50 years. Markets under the influence of quantitative easing, dollar printing, move differently than they used to. Similar to how nature works, markets will move as far as they possibly can and then rest and consolidate. If you were to climb Mount Everest, typically what you're going to do is you're going to go as far as you can to base camp A or base camp one, whatever they call it, and then acclimate yourself to that elevation and climate. And then you're going to go to base camp two, spend a week there, acclimate yourself to those areas. This is how markets work. They go as far as they can, and then they consolidate, they rest, they go into corrective action. It's not overbought and oversold, guys. So range expansion leads to range contraction and then back to range expansion again. So I've got a study here that I call fractal energy. It is really just the choppiness index. I'm looking for high energy conditions. This is where we have a high degree of choppy price action. And this is akin to winding up a spring, winding it tighter and tighter and tighter until it will blow out of that pattern. So looking for these high energy conditions are where we're going to see breakouts from. Breakouts or breakdowns in this case. Breakouts or breakdown. We're not predicting which way it goes. Price action will tell us which way it is breaking the pattern. And the opposite end to that is low energy conditions. So when something has been trending in a direction for a long period of time, one way or the other, this is where we get into exhaustion. And this is actually what I look for to set up the next non-directional trade. So we can, here's an example of a recent trade that we made where we see on the 78-minute chart, which is five times faster than the daily. So we're in the middle of a daily trend breakout from here. We're in exhaustion on the daily chart, and we also went into exhaustion on the 78-minute chart. So when multiple time frames stack up like this, this is where we say, hey, let's go sell a range-bound trade right in this area. Perfect for an iron condor, time spread, iron butterfly, whatever you want to use. So we will initiate our range-bound options offense when conditions appear likely to consolidate or reverse, and we'll pause when conditions appear favorable to trend. Also, we'll take care to avoid trading before big economic announcements, but we will trade after them to help propel the trade further in distance. We want to place the trades outside of the expected move when we can, and known support and resistance price levels. We'll place positions at strike prices that correlate to a specific probability or delta. So again, we're being precise with where we locate them. So we want to do everything we can to do before we enter positions to stack probabilities in our favor. And don't forget, there's 252 trading days a year. We do not need to enter every single day. So let's talk about defense now. Defense in an option trade is very similar to kicking off a football in a football game. So they kick the football off and they stand back and defend their goal line, which is essentially what we do when we set up an option trade. And I've got this broken down to static and active defense. A static defense is one that's set up ahead of time before the trade is entered. I wish people would do this more often. So many times I see people violate this rule. They set up a trade and immediately the price goes against them. They don't know what to do. That's your static defense. You can also call it a stop if you want to. An active defense is a way that you can play this or adjust the trade. You can adjust the risk dynamics of the trade. The defense necessary for an iron condor trade will depend on the structure of the trade to begin with. Different structures of iron condors will have different needs for defense. So if I do a low probability iron condor like this, where again, the risk of the trade is the same as the potential reward for this, or the max reward for this trade. So it's set for 1-to-1. The structure of the trade becomes the static defense. I don't have to run a stop with a trade like this. Imagine if you could set up trades where you don't have to worry about some black swan coming in overnight, which has probably been the case for a lot of people trading this year, looking over their shoulder, expecting the 2022 bear to kick in at any given moment and losing sleep over that, waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning to check the futures to make sure that we haven't crashed yet. That was a very real thing back in 2020 where we hit limit down, I don't know how many times. So understanding how to use different structures to be able to handle risk better can save you a lot of sleep. Now, if you're going to do a high probability iron condor, again, if you're going to go for a higher probability but lower credit type of trade to increase the probabilities, the potential loss is several times the initial credit received. This style of iron condor must employ additional defensive measures. You cannot just play this by the probabilities. You cannot allow a max loss to occur. It doesn't matter what you think will happen to the price. The price can do whatever it wants. So a simple form, let's go over some simple static defenses. So a simple way to do this is based on point distances. Now, I don't believe in doing this, but this is one simple way that people do that, because the problem with this is that it changes with changes in implied volatility. So this will give you a lot more leeway to the trade, but you're going to get much more inconsistent results as implied volatility expands and contracts. So some people will say, like, hey, when it gets within 30 points of the short strike, I'm out. You'll get a different number in 2020 versus 2021 or 2022, or even now in 2023 with low volatility conditions. 30 points means something different in each one of those markets. So one way that you can be consistent with the current level of volatility in the Black-Scholes is by using delta. Delta is very good at this. So you can say, maybe if I'm in on the trade and it's currently showing 7 deltas, if it gets up to a 30 delta, maybe I'll do something about it. I'll do an adjustment. So predetermining your delta threshold for that, or you can do a delta threshold for your entire portfolio delta. That's also something that's possible to do. And then lastly, you can just do the bottom line, close at a certain debit. I see a lot of people doing this, like 3x initial credit, 4x initial credit, those kind of things. Those are fine. And those can be done in a lot of brokers. Those can be set as a stop limit, which is a little bit more protected than a standard stop. I would never do a market stop on an option spread. Okay, so those are some simple ways that you could do static defense. Understand that there's no perfect static defense, though. One that's too risk-averse will suffer from early exits. One that's too aggressive will allow holding through some deep pullbacks and so forth and attacks, but legitimate exits are going to be really expensive. So find one that works best for you and stick with it. An active defense requires much more skill and judgment to employ. So it may sound cool to do an active delta neutral hedging strategy, but there's a very good chance that a poor application of it will actually increase losses and turn winning trades into losers. What I found is that the less that you do to a trade, generally, you're better off with. You know, you're better off not over monkeying around with trades that are live. So the traditional problem with an iron condor is setting up the trade and having the price attack one side with a freight train trend. We've seen plenty of that in the last 7 weeks or so. You see it coming from a long way off, yet there's nothing that you feel you can do about it. It's hard not to be fearful. We all focus on what we fear. And unfortunately, when we do that, we cannot see any other pathways. So our common reaction is to number one, hope that it turns around, or number two, focus 100% of our energy on the fear that this attack creates. This means you're going to be blind to any other opportunity other than what you fear. So the simplest method of active defense is simply to remove the position, get out of the way. It does require skill to know when to hang in there versus knowing when to bail out. You have to put a lot of thought into where you, because it's different for every time, depending on how long you are into the cycle. So I found that the best hedge is one that's placed with a very good reward to risk. That is, it's very inexpensive and will not cost you much if the hedge ends up being unnecessary. Actually, you know what? I'm going to go back to this slide again, because one of the worst pieces of advice that I've ever heard somebody talk about is, like with a spread option, if you've sold one option and bought an option. So in this case, this would be like a put spread. What they talk about is to close the short and let the long run. And that is one of the worst pieces of advice that I've ever heard from something like that. So you've gone from being a very neutral trader with limited risk to all of a sudden, you're going to take a very expensive exit, first of all, on that. And then you've turned yourself into an out-of-the-money long option trader, which is the most aggressive, lowest probability form of trading ever. So do not consider any kind of an active defense like that. Okay, going back to a simple hedge trade, you can just simply set up an out-of-the-money debit spread with significant asymmetric reward to risk. These are easy to manage, they're cheap, and they're simple. They keep your head in the game. So one last thought on defending a trade. Do not use technical analysis to defend a trade. Only make exit decisions by the numbers. So I had to learn this the hard way. So again, an example of this might be if you're looking at a particular channel like this, the price is running in a channel like this, and saying, well, I'm not going to defend this position because I have this upper channel. Guess what? You're about to see that thing get blown through. Use a different color to draw. Should I use the same color as your avatar or should I use a different color? I'll use yellow next time. Okay. So now let's talk about a weekly income system. So we trade a variant of our strategy that best fits the current market. There's no point in trying to fit yesterday's winning strategy into today's conditions. Market's always trying to show you what the conditions are. So you might ask yourself, what are the current conditions right now that the market's trading in? It's hyper-trending, pullbacks are non-existent, the implied volatility is on the floor. Probably going to change pretty soon, but we don't know when. So you got to keep trading what you're trading right now and manage the risk to the downside. So we are going to trade what we do currently. We trade SPX options. We add positions every day that we have a green light. We do these 5 days out. We're going to create low probability contours with $5 wide vertical spreads. Now, we could do this on the spiders if we wanted to. We could use something like $2 wide spreads. But even a $5 wide spread, most people can do these on the SPX in a smaller account because you're only putting up $250 in margin. So that's not too bad as long as that is not more than 2% of your account. So that's usually a fairly small account. So we go for at least the 250 credit per spread. We're seeking a 10% return on risk. So if I get in for 250, immediately factor in commissions, set up a 215 exit debit on the entire trade. We're going to avoid trades entry before big economic announcements like what, tomorrow, right? We also have GDP on Thursday, jobless claims. That could be interesting, but probably more important is PCE on Friday. So we're going to be clear and ready to go on Friday morning. Once the cash market opens. But right now, the next couple of days, we're going to sit on our hands and let the risk play out. So avoid entry on days where the market energy shows a high probability of impending price movement. So we're not predicting the price, but what we're doing is we're using the probabilities and the market condition to show us where the probabilities lie. So our black swan risk is set from trade entry. You can't lose more than 250 a contract. I no longer lose sleep at night when the futures are moving. So we can roll the untested side up to 2 times in the unlikely event that we step in front of a trend. So we can adjust these trades. That's a dynamic adjustment that we talked about. So rolling the untested side significantly reduces risk while still giving us the chance of being able to win the trade. So the most important element of the defense is starting out with a decent reward to risk from the onset. So this is a simple delta neutral random walk strategy, great for black swan risk. And we use a little bit of technical analysis to help us with a more accurate entry. We're also going to be working on low volatility time spreads next. So this is the best strategy to create income in low volatility complacent markets, which we're in right now. We're going to be looking to do campaign style time spreads. So we set up a campaign long option, and then we set up competitive or repetitive short option rights against that for a specific period of time. So those are going to be relatively simple, yet very, very regimented. It's extremely important you evaluate results by the numbers and not your opinion. You've got to capture the numbers in everything that you do. So an example, this is a trade that we put on last Friday. The market on the S&P had jumped up into an exhaustion condition. And so we said, green light, let's go for it. We're going to have a short little volatility coil. There's not much room to work with these days, but if we're aggressive, so we got in for a 260 credit and we got through, this is what the trade looks like. And this is kind of the width of it on Tasty Trade. And we got out yesterday for 230. So my credit target or a debit target, I should say, was 225, but I was able to close for 230 before dealing with this morning's earnings and any risk coming in. So we're always going to close these things if we can to eliminate risk and book profits. So that was an 8.23 return on risk, 28 hours the whole time. That's not bad. Okay, performance since service inception, we've been going for a little over a year now, 86.5% win rate, 1.51 profit factor. So for every dollar we lose through trades, we are going to lose some trades, right? We win $1.51. That's an ATM, guys. So what are our next steps? nothing I've talked about in this presentation is new. These are all concepts that we've been talking about. I've been part of this for 20 years. Traders have been selling options for income on the SPX for decades. So why is it that so few are profitable? Perhaps they lack the discipline. Perhaps they don't have a system. More than likely, they'll lose confidence and give up after the first loss. Confidence must begin by gaining knowledge and then applying that knowledge to learn to win. So if you like to gain the confidence that comes when you learn to win, consider joining me at the 12-Minute Trading Daily Target 100 service. So we meet as a team every day in a live trading room. We enter trades every single day to give you reps in the system. If conditions don't warrant a real entry or a live entry, I'll enter it in sim to give you practice and show you how the system goes. All live trades are posted on our class portal with email and SMS notifications are backed up by a live tracker so you always know what I'm in and what I'm out of. Here's some examples. Here's some trade updates that are on our portal, as well as the courses that we have here, as well as this is what a typical trade update looks like. Here's today's SMSs going out. So we try to over-communicate what it is that we're doing. So we don't want anybody to feel like they don't know what's going on or what we should be doing. So each day in the trading room, we do a full read on the market, an evaluation of current inventory, what we're doing with our current positions, new trade entries, which are entered live in the room. So think of every day as a live coaching session with an experienced wolf pack at your side. So today's webinar, 2 weeks of free trial in the Daily Target 100 service. This is our special today. If you go to 12minutetrading.com/T100TR. So let me see if I can type this in up here. Here we go. So 12minutetrading.com/T100TR and come and spend 2 weeks with me live. If it works for you, it's only $147 a month to stay. You can cancel at any time. Please don't miss out on the free trial. We're going to take it down soon, probably after this weekend. No risk to try it out. And at this point, thank you very much for your patience. That's the end of my presentation. So I'll take questions now. Here we go. Huh, interesting. It shows up as black ink. Okay, so Stan is asking, why do you believe that the probability of a stock going up, down, or sideways is 33% each? That's on an outcome basis, Stan, on an outcome basis. I mean, there's only three output. There's only three possible outcomes for something. It's either going to go up, down, or sideways, right? So on an outcome basis, it's going to be 33.3% each. Now, the normal distribution of those will be depending on the trend, things like that. But that's your initial starting outcome. When you go into a long trade, you've got to have the price go up. It cannot go sideways, can't go down. So on an outcome basis, that's only 33%. I see oh no, finally, no more overbought, oversold crap. Do you also suggest position sizing based on a given trade? No, we're always going to do, I don't know how big your account is. I don't know what your experience is. What I suggest is that people start with very, very small positions. In fact, even sim positions until they get the mechanics down. And then once you get to the point where you can trade one contract comfortably, then you can start to scale into what should be whatever you decide is your level of capital for that particular strategy. But everybody's going to have a different answer. I'm never going to say, hey, you should be trading 10 contracts of this, because that would be extremely presumptive on my side. Okay, any other questions that I can help you guys with? I'll look forward to working with you guys online. And don't forget, we also have a YouTube channel out there for 12-Minute Trading. You can find it through YouTube. So we usually do live webinars every Wednesday afternoon. We do some videos over the weekend, so you can kind of get an understanding with what we do and how we go about looking at things. Okay, well, David, Anka, thank you very much again for inviting me to the Derivatives Conference here in 2023. And thanks, everybody, for your patience.